Time to talk some Pac-12 football and more. You know, our next guest real well from his time with the Ducks, 3-year starter. His career culminated with a victory in the 2007 Sun Bowl, drafted by the Panthers in 08, also played for the Vikings, Chiefs, and Giants. On Twitter, follow him at Jeff Schwartz. We welcome in Jeff. Jeff, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. That 2007 Sun Bowl, that's been a while.
Yeah. When I talk with people sometimes and they say a few years ago, it's like, dude, that's almost 10. So we got to kind of do a time recheck.
It is 10. It is 10 years ago. It's crazy.
No, it's amazing. So you're here talking with us on behalf of the Pac-12 Network. You last played for the G-Men in 2015. So give the folks an update. What are you up to these days? What do they have you doing?
Yeah, I was in camp with the Lions in 2016 and got it released. And so last year, I wrote a lot for SB Nation. I still write for them. You can go on my Twitter and find it. I just put out a piece about college offensive linemen transitioning to NFL. I do a lot of NFL stuff, serious NFL radio. I do local radio in Charlotte where I'm living. And I'm calling the spring game on Saturday in Eugene. So I'm excited to be back. It'll be really the first time I've been back in 2009, so I'm looking forward to that experience.
Now, for those maybe not aware, your brother's a hell of a player, starting right tackle for the Chiefs, originally drafted by the Browns. And this past September, you guys put out a book cleverly titled Eat My Schwartz. Tell me, what was the inspiration behind that book and the experience doing something like that with your little brother?
Well, I think the inspiration came from the fact that we're the first pair of Jewish brothers in NFL since 1923. So when we learned about that fact, you know, we kind of felt like, wow, we have a unique story. Why don't we share it? And we started talking about ideas and how to move forward. And, you know, my brother and I did not come up in the typical football path. We didn't play till high school. And then, you know, we had some adversity here and there. You know, I've been banged up a bunch. Talk about some relationship issues I've had being in the NFL. And, you know, well, lastly, it's about food. We love food. My brother and I, there's recipes in there, and we just talk about how a lot of our big family memories revolve around food.
You know, I can't help but ask because, you know, you and your brother are two pretty big guys, NFL-sized linemen, and you mentioned this passion for food. What was it like for mom and your family to keep the fridge stocked? Did you have to take out a loan?
So we had an industrial-sized freezer in the garage that was just filled with meat and poultry and fish, and it was supposed to be every 6 months it got refilled. And so when I was a senior in high school, my brother was a freshman, it would be finished in 2 months' time.
That's amazing. I want to get back
to
you.
6 months' worth of meat in two.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, you sure kept the people providing your meals on their toes. I want to get back to your season here, your senior year with the Ducks, because 2006 ended on a sour note. And enter this new coordinator from some place called New Hampshire. What do you remember about Chip Kelly taking over the offense and the kind of impact it had that kind of sparked you guys into contention?
Yeah, well, I remember the first time I ever met Chip was in February. We hadn't signed him yet, but I think they were interviewing a bunch of offensive coordinators, and I was out because I had back surgery, and he was there on a Friday morning, I think, or whatever morning he was there, and I was talking to him while the guys were doing drills and just hearing about his concepts, and I thought to myself, this, you know, no one's done this. It doesn't seem like it would work. And then, of course, we hired him, and it worked beautifully. So I just remember, you know, really the confidence that Chip had. He had the utmost confidence in his system, but then us as players. And when you have a coach who wasn't really nitpicky on details, you know, like, so, you know, we didn't get just nitpicked to death. And then we put up a lot of points. So when you start scoring a lot of points, you start feeling good about your offense. I just knew we had this feeling every week that we were gonna beat the team in front of us. And we knew we'd do it with style, and we knew we'd do it with attitude. And that's what I remember most about, you know, the winning part of that year. Obviously, the back end of the year was awful, but, you know, the first 9 games was a lot of fun.
We're talking with former Duck Jeff Schwartz of the Pac-12 Network. Of course, your head coach was Mike Bellotti, but a lot of guys on that staff, your position coach, Coach Greatwood, Gary Campbell, had been there a long time and were part of this recent off-season change. So what was your initial reaction when you heard that Oregon, for the first time in 35, 40 years, was having this major house cleaning?
Well, I had said all year, and if you you go back to my Twitter, you can look at it, and I'm not BSing on this. I thought Helfrich should have been allowed to have a year to turn it around. And same as Bellotti did after the Vegas Bowl. I'm not sure Bellotti was in the same, kind of job predicament as far as being on the hot seat. But then, when they lost to Oregon State, I don't know, I kind of changed my tune a little bit. I understood why a change needs to be made when you lose to your three rivals and you lose to Oregon State, who's not any good, and Washington puts up 70 on you. I can see the need for a change. And when they made the change, they had to make a change with everybody. It was a time for the system to be done. It was time for Win the Day to be over with. It had been 10 years, and I was okay with the way it went down. I mean, I think that it had to be a clean break. You couldn't bring in Taggart and then keep four or five of the Chip guys or, Bellotti guys or whatever. Right. Back far they go. Some of the rich books, I mean, they go back so far. So I was okay with the way it ended up happening, and the guys really seemed to enjoy the new staff. So that's good to see.
I want to get it's almost 9 years to the day, April 27, 2008. So it's day two of the draft, and I'd imagine you're kind of on pins and needles. Do you remember that day, where you were, who you were with, and that moment when you learned, in fact, you're an NFL draft pick going to the Panthers?
Yeah, I remember it because it was a long day. The first day, it used to be the draft was 2 days. It was first and second round and five rounds the next day. And so the first 2 days, a lot of tackles were taken. There were eight in the first two rounds. So I thought my name would be soon. And I told myself I wouldn't watch, but of course I did, and you just didn't see my name called for years.
Rounds,
for hours and rounds. I meant to say rounds, and it just was it was disheartening. And then I started getting calls about being an undrafted free agent, and finally the Panthers called me in the seventh round, and they say, "How do you feel about being drafted?" And at this point, I had enough with the day, and I said, at this point, I don't even care. And, of course, they drafted me, and I was excited for it. But it was a long day, long day.
So, obviously, Oregon has their spring game Saturday, the first under the new Willie Taggart regime. All your spring games took place under the guidance of Coach Bellotti. So, once you were established, your last couple years where you were a frontline offensive lineman, what do you remember about your approach to spring? It's not quite prepping for the season. You've got some new faces. What do you remember about the spring game and spring practice back then?
Well, the last year I was eligible for spring ball, I had back surgery. It was me and Max Unger. We were both out, and for spring ball, I mean, I think spring ball is important really when you're, you have the new staff, you're trying to build up an offense, just getting used to the terms you're hearing, the words, how coaches want things done, how they want individual drills to be run. So, even in 2007, we had a new offense, but we still the same head coach. We still the same position coach, so we knew the drills that were coming. And, it's a lot like NFL OTAs. Once you're done with them, I mean, that's kind of it. Like, it's not – when you start training camp, what you do in spring ball doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, you reinstall again. But I just – spring ball was always an opportunity just to – hear things again, get acclimated to putting on the pads and playing and getting ready for training camp.
Now, I've got to ask one thing. I was born and raised in North Jersey, big Giants fan. My buddy had season's tickets from when the stadium opened in 1976, section 126 of the old Meadowlands. What kind of experience was it playing in the shadow of the Big Apple for that fan base, being a part of such an iconic franchise?
They should have kept the Meadowlands. I like that place was unique. It was windy. It was loud. I mean, I felt, I actually had a unique experience. I played the last home game when I was with Carolina at New York in 2009. And then we opened up MetLife the following year, week one, against the Giants. So
Amazing. I
played the last game of the old one and the first game of the new one. I think what I liked most about my time in New York was the expectation of winning. You know, we didn't win very much when I was there, the 2 years I was there, but the expectation was always there. Maybe it's because when you walk in the front door, there's four Lombardi trophies sitting there in a glass case. You're expected to win, but it's one of the only organizations I've been in that I truly felt that everybody from the marketing, advertising people, PR, you know, front office, trainers, everyone had one goal to win. And they knew how to do it because they had done it before, but that's what I enjoyed. And the fans held you to that standard, too. I mean, the fans are really passionate, but I feel like they're passionate, but they know what they're talking about. So they're just not, going around booing you without cause.
Yeah, I was a member of that crowd. A couple final thoughts for Jeff Schwartz of the Pac-12 Network. So now that you're a member of the media, as we mentioned, you'll be here for the spring game. And historically, you know, the best analysts are either linemen or quarterbacks. So how has your view as a lifelong lineman helped in prepping you to provide analysis in this new role?
Well, I think we see things differently as offensive linemen. So the experience you're going to get with me calling a game is going to be different than a lot of times you hear, because most ex-quarterbacks aren't going to talk about line play very much. And you know, they have to know the protection, but they don't know what we're doing. And as offensive linemen, the really good ones, they know almost everything about the offense and defense. I might not know, and I do now, but when I was playing, you know, I might not know some of the route concepts and what a wide receiver does against press coverage. But I knew what the safety's jobs were, the linebackers. I knew what our entire offense job was on a play. So that translates well to when you have to do this. And it's a matter of just being able to give your thought on a play, you know, succinctly and concise, because you only get a couple seconds, you know, between plays. So I've done a couple of games, a high school game and a college game in Northern California. So I'm excited the spring game on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, being back in town in this new capacity, in essence, what could the folks look forward to? Who are you going to be working with? And, what's your approach going to be?
Yeah, I'm working with Guy Haberman and Jill Savage. It's going to be really great. The one thing that's, like, weird for me is, do I wear Oregon stuff on Friday before the game? Like, I'm kind of like, I just don't know. Is it professional to do that? I mean, obviously when I call the game, I'm not going to be a homer. You know, it's an Oregon spring game. I mean, you'd be a little bit of a homer, but, you know, in general, I think you have to stay professional. So for me, I think that's going to be, the biggest hurdle I might run into is try not to make it, about me or talk about my time in Eugene unless it's relevant for the conversation we're having.
Awesome. You can follow this guy. He's got a lot to offer on Twitter, at Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, it's great catching up with you. You travel safe and enjoy your time here back in Eugene.
Thank you. Take care.